It's cloudy with a high near 52. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers before 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 37. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 53. North, northwest wind between 11 and 15 miles per hour. Currently in Wausau, it is overcast, it is breezy, and it is 51 degrees at 9 o'clock. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Monday edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and today we conclude our verse-by-verse study through the book of Galatians. We come in our study to Galatians chapter 5. We pick it up in verse 11. The views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself. They may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRV, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And Father, I pray and I ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Galatians chapter 5, we pick it up in verse 11. And I, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul writing, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. And remember, Paul is defending the pure gospel of salvation, which is saved by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, plus no works at all, not to be saved. And there were false teachers who said, no, you got to add this to the plan of salvation, and you have to add this other work and circumcision and all this other kind of stuff if you really want to be saved. Paul says, no. He says, if I still am preaching works in addition to faith in Jesus Christ, then the offense of the cross has ceased. And the offense of the cross is this. This is one of the offenses connected with the cross of Jesus Christ. The message of salvation through that cross is that man is so depraved that they can't save themselves and they can't do anything to contribute to their salvation. But we must rely completely and totally on what Jesus did for us on the cross. That doesn't set well with prideful man. That is one of the offenses connected with the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, or for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Jesus Christ has set Christians free. There is liberty in Christ, not liberty to sin, but freedom not to sin. So when you hear of we've got liberty in Christ, that's not a license to sin. It's the freedom not to sin by the power of God in us. 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You can take the entire Bible and boil it down to this one basic command. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because if you're loving your neighbor, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to commit adultery against them. You're not going to do any other commandment that is forbidden. Love sums it all up. 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Christians that bite and devour one another destroy their testimony. Their testimony to a lost world that so desperately needs Jesus is out the window. It's been consumed. 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you struggling with a sin? Every Christian sins. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a Christian is forgiven. But the key to overcoming a sin, if you're a Christian, is not to try to overcome a sin. The key to overcoming a sin is to ask Jesus Christ to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to walk in obedience to the Spirit. That takes care of sins. 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The reason that a Christian doesn't always live the way that they want to live, which would be pleasing to Jesus Christ is because they still have that sin nature. And the sin nature is contrary to God in every way. Our sin nature that a Christian still has is totally rebellious against God. That's all it wants to do is what God doesn't want it to do. And that's why there's this battle in a Christian between what they want to do in their spirit and what their old sinful nature, who still is in them, wants to do. It's a constant fight. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. As a Christian, you're not under a law, okay? You're not under law in order to be saved as a Christian. You don't have to keep rules and regulations to be saved. You don't have to keep special holy days. You don't have to keep special rituals. You don't have to do any of those things in order to be saved. You're not under law. You're saved by your faith in Jesus Christ. And you're also not under law to walk in obedience. It doesn't have anything to do with law. It has everything in the world to do with following the leading of the Holy Spirit and serving Jesus out of love. A Christian is led by their love for Jesus Christ, by their appreciation for Jesus. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now he just listed a whole bunch of very bad things that God calls bad, including in them sorcery, including witchcraft, including wrath, bad temper, selfishness, heresies, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. All of these things, they are all bad in the eyes of God. Envy, murder, drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. All these things are bad. And notice what he says about these things. He says, as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody who practices these sins and doesn't repent and doesn't confess is not going to heaven. And a real Christian, somebody who is saved, will confess these sins. They may fall into these sins, but they're going to confess them. They're not going to live in these sins as a lifestyle. In contrast to these terrible works of the flesh that God calls wicked is verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know what? None of these works of the Holy Spirit will cause gonorrhea. None of them will cause AIDS or war or trouble in any form. If all people walked with God, we would live in a paradise. We would hardly need a military or a police force. If people were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, everyone would be busy trying to outgive and outkind each other. And we wouldn't have time to think about doing anything wrong or hurting one another. And so it's pretty clear when you look at these verses that the reason there are problems in the world and problems between people is because people sin, and those problems would be gone if we would stop sinning. And then he says in the last part of verse 23, against such there is no law. Yeah, I've never heard a policeman say, mister, you're under arrest for being gentle. I'm going to throw the book at you because you're filled with long suffering and patience. You're going to jail for 30 days for being kind. Oh, there aren't any laws against this kind of stuff. Verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you're a Christian, your sin nature's ability to control you is gone. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore if you're a Christian. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, and if we are a Christian, we live by the Spirit. So he says, now let's walk by the Spirit. You think about walking. We all learn to walk by doing it one step at a time. We didn't learn how to walk by reading a book on how to walk, or by listening to a pep talk by our parents. We kept trying, and we kept falling, and we kept trying until we finally got it. And walking in the Spirit, holiness, works the same way. We do well, then we fall. But if we keep trying, we'll get better. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Bragging and envy are the opposite of walking in the Spirit. Bragging and envying are the exact opposite of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's why God says, stay away from it. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, if a Christian sins, and all Christians do, no matter how much you love God, if you're a Christian, you're going to sin. Other Christians should not be harsh toward you. Other Christians should try to help you, and you ought to try to help other Christians who have sinned and pray for them. But be gentle, because if a genuine Christian sins, they're going to feel terrible to begin with. You don't have to rip into them and tear them down anymore. I mean, they already feel rotten. And if they've repented and they've confessed, then encourage them. Remind them of the scriptures that teach that they are saved and forgiven in Jesus Christ. But don't be harsh toward them, because you know what? You could fall too. And you will. At some point. It's inevitable. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, the law of Christ, as we saw a few verses ago, is love your neighbor as yourself. So he's saying, help one another. That's what it means to love others. It's not have a warm feeling towards them. It's help them. It's do whatever you can to make their life better, and to do what is best for them. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And here's God's commentary on the self-esteem, self-fulfillment movement, and their books, which are so prevalent in Christianity. I'm not talking about the secular bookstores. I'm talking about Christian bookstores. They're loaded with self-help, self-improvement, self-fulfillment, self-esteem, all this kind of stuff. You know what I say? I say, don't give those authors your money. They're spreading untruths. If we seek, as Christians, self-fulfillment, we are seeking an idol. Our time should be spent as Christians seeking to do what is pleasing to Jesus. And if somehow, some way, in all of our efforts, we get self-esteem, well, then we bought into a big old lie. We've been brainwashed, because God says right here in verse 3, and you're not going to like this, we are nothing. If anybody thinks that they are something when they are nothing, says God. And this is so important to accept this and understand it, because it magnifies Jesus, you see. Jesus died for a bunch of sinful nothings. And that doesn't make him foolish, but it sure is a tribute to his grace. And knowing that that's the case gives us all the more reason to appreciate him. Not think well of ourselves, but appreciate his loving grace and his mercy to save us, in spite of the fact that we are nothing. If you think you're more than nothing, God says you're deceiving yourself, verse 4. Actually, verse 3. Anyway, we move on to verse 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. God says, don't compare yourself with other people. Just do your best. Then regardless how it turns out, you can be glad that you've done your best. That's what God expects from us. He expects us to do our best. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Whatever job gives us to do, it's our responsibility to do it. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. God says, pay the man who teaches his word. Give him a check. Give him some money. help meet his needs so that he can study and continue to teach. Let him who is taught the word of God share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Our life is like a reflection in a mirror. We get back what we put in. I mean, it's the law of biogenesis, which God established during creation week. You get what you plant. And it's true spiritually as well. You plant sin, you get a messed up life. You plant holiness, you get spiritual joy and peace and eternal rewards. It's 9:15, time for our break. And I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for Our Daily Bread. Your host is Les Lamborn.
Here's a good thought. To grow spiritually strong, read the Word. Bill Crowder writes, our family had just arrived at the lake cottage that we had rented for a week of much-anticipated vacation when my wife discovered the unmistakable evidence of spiders and mice in the house. It wasn't that we had never encountered such things, but we had expected the cottage to be cleaned and prepared for our stay there. Instead, the counters, cabinets, and beds were littered with the residue of infestation, requiring much cleaning before we settled in. It wasn't a bad house. It had just been left untended. We might be guilty of dealing with our hearts the way the cottage was managed. Our untended places become breeding grounds for infestations of wrong thinking, poor attitudes, or sinful behavior, creating problems that require significant attention to correct. The wise path is to recognize our need, to tend our hearts by staying in God's Word and embracing its truths. In Psalm 119, verse 11, King David recognized the danger of not building our lives on the Scriptures. He said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. With a focus on the word, we can build strong spiritual lives that will help us avoid the dangers that inevitably grow in untended places. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, describes some of the reasons we should trust the Bible's instructions. And I'll read from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Father, help us to grow stronger spiritually speaking, and that is to read your word, to meditate upon it, and to apply it to our daily walk with you. Thank you for giving us your word and your Holy Spirit, who is our great teacher. Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. With overcast and breezy conditions, it's 52 degrees in Wausau at 9:19. We are studying the book of Galatians, finishing up this great little book of six chapters, all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to be saved, the one message of salvation. That's what this book is about. And we come in our study now to chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read. Well, actually, let's go back and read verse 7, too. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. God is just. God is just. And if a person doesn't repent of their sins and find forgiveness through Jesus Christ, then they will pay for their sins because God is not mocked. And he says in verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And this is not talking about earning our salvation by being good enough on our own. If this book teaches anything, it teaches that we can't do that. But eternal life is more than life that just does not end. Eternal life refers to the highest quality of life as well. You see, a person who is rich, a person who is poor, a person who is healthy, a person who is sick, will have the best life possible for a person in their situation if they are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, dedicated to Jesus Christ. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's a quality of life, as well as a quantity of life. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It takes weeks to see a harvest of crops. It takes several years before you get fruit from a fruit tree. And it can take a long, long time and a lot of doing good before we see a harvest of good. And we may not see it until eternity, because payday is not until judgment day for Christians. 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Opportunity to do good is like good seed, and we should not blow any opportunity to do good. God will be happy, and we'll see something good in return, sooner or later. Verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And so the Jewish Christian false teachers wanted to look good to their unsaved fellow Jews. Consequently, they changed God's plan of salvation, or they attempted to, and they taught that Jesus was not enough. Now that made them real popular with their colleagues. It perverted, though, the plan of salvation and got them in trouble with God. Verse 13, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. See, every time a false teacher back in those days talked some new convert into adding works to their faith in Jesus Christ, they figured they scored a point. They were prideful, self-centered wolves in sheep's clothing. They wanted to draw attention to themselves instead of Christ the Savior. 14. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul was not the least bit interested in anything that would honor him or draw attention to him. Jesus and his cross are the important things. Paul and the rest of us are unworthy sinners who deserve nothing but hell, according to what Scripture teaches. There is nothing in us that is worth bragging about. All that we have, any good that we do, is a product of God's grace. Jesus himself said, apart from me, you could do nothing. So who do we brag on? Ourselves? I don't think so. That's not smart. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. If Paul had said, I prefer Christianity, or it's my personal belief that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then he would not have been persecuted, because that would suggest that other religions may be fine. But he didn't say that, did he? He said, one thing counts. You need to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that counts. Jesus needs to be our Lord. Jesus needs to be our Savior. We need to be trusting in Christ and what He accomplished for us on the cross. That is the one thing that counts. That's why Paul was always in hot water, because he preached that. Of course, he preached it because Jesus taught it. Jesus is the one who taught him. And Jesus is God. And Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. That's saying a mouthful, isn't it? So, Paul preached that, and he was in hot water. And any preacher worthy of the title is going to preach the same message. And it's not a popular message today. It's popular today to be open-minded and think that everybody is going to heaven, or as long as they're sincere and as long as they don't murder anybody, they're just fine. But that's not what Scripture teaches. That's not what God's Word teaches. And that's not what Jesus taught. And so many of these people who teach that kind of stuff speak so highly of Jesus, they don't even know Jesus. They have no idea. They've created a Jesus in their own image and their own likeness, one that they like. Because if they really read and taught the words of Christ, they wouldn't say such foolish nonsense. But that's the way it goes. And that's what Christ has called us to endure for His sake, suffering for the narrow message of salvation. If need be, then that's what we have to do. That's what Paul endured. That's what all the apostles endured. 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Christians are true Israelites. That is, we are the true people of God. Those of us who are not counting on anything except what Jesus did for us on the cross are the real people of God. 17, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul belonged to Christ, and he had the bruises and the scars from the whips to prove it. He stood for faith in Jesus Christ, and he got the tar beat out of him many times because of it. And finally, he ended up having his head chopped off too. The willingness to suffer and sacrifice for the Savior is evidence that a person's faith is the kind that saves. 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And with that, we end the book of Galatians. And I want to thank you for studying this book with me. We begin a brand new book tomorrow, and I won't tell you what that is. You'll have to tune in to see. Mainly, I don't know myself, but I will find something, I promise you that. If you have any questions for me, if you have any comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you need somebody to speak at your church or your Bible study group, again, my address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211, or email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. Until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Thanks for joining me. See you tomorrow. So long, everyone.
Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.